Hello and welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 44. And the podcast this week is sponsored by Lonza. During drug development, it is critical to balance risk with time and costs. At Lonza, we understand the complexity of building such optimal paths. By offering flexibility on your journey to IND, we can shape our processes around your molecule's profile, critical milestones, and company's needs. Our flexibility extends to commercial terms, enhanced portability, and specific program guarantees. By working with any molecule type, we support our customers to bring innovative therapies to life. The people powering biologics. I'm Jim Cornell from LeBiotech, and here we are in May, although no one has told the weather. It's Cinco de Mayo today as well, which seems to be a bit bigger in the US than it is in its native Mexico. And yesterday was the new holiday on the calendar to boost sales of Star Wars memorabilia, Star Wars Day, something I'm not interested in the slightest, but I have to be careful in case my son hears me say that. We had a holiday on Monday this week here in the UK, and there's another one next week as well for the coronation of King Charles III, and that event takes place tomorrow. I'm not sure whether it will be something that everyone watches or no one watches. As for work, it was a little busier this week because of that day off, and there was a lot of pretty big news in biotech, so much so that some of it made the mainstream media headlines as well. And of course, we'll have all the headlines for you a little later on. May is also the month with the most awareness days and months. I was going to count them all, but there were so many that I didn't. On the way to the beach on Wednesday to walk the dog, there were lots of police on motorcycles coming in the opposite direction and no traffic. And that was the clue, because they were followed by an entourage containing Donald Trump, likely headed back to the airport after spending some time at his golf course and hotel, which are close to here. Unless, of course, he was popping into the town because he was out of bagels. If so, he would have been really disappointed because I'd just bought the last bag. And when I say bagels, if you're in North America and know what a real bagel is, most of the ones that we get here in the UK are pretty much round bread with a hole in it. Not that I'm complaining. Well, maybe I am a bit. As I mentioned earlier, before I got distracted by Star Wars, the coronation, Donald Trump and bagels, I was mentioning awareness days and months. What other biotech podcasts talk about Donald Trump and bagels? Anyway, May is, among many others, Lupus Awareness Month, and we have two guests to talk about lupus. Catherine Tran is Senior Global Market Development and Marketing Manager of the Proteomics Division at SciX, and she also has lupus. Through her work, Catherine partners with researchers like Alan Stensbeller, Associate Professor, Department of Health Science and Technology, and Associate Professor of the Faculty of Medicine at Aalborg University in Denmark. And now it's time for the news you may have missed over at lebiotech.eu. We had an article on generative artificial intelligence in novel drug development. A single molecule valve breakthrough could lead to early disease diagnosis. And a new schizophrenia injection has received FDA approval. Astellas is looking to the ophthalmology field with a $5.9 billion takeover of Iveric Bio. The FDA has fast-tracked Memo's kidney transplant infection treatment. And we had an article on the future of asthma treatment as to whether a cure is possible. Cabaletta Bio's lupus drug was cleared for trial. The first drug has been discovered through a 3D bioprinted human tissue disease model. And researchers have found a new potential target for treating vascular disease. We had an article on immunotherapy and the fight against solid tumors. There were positive study results from Lilly's Alzheimer's drug, which slows patients' decline. And the world's first RSV vaccine for older adults received FDA approval. Lyft Biosciences says their data show potent killing of pancreatic cancer tumoroids. An osteoporosis drug may help T-cells fight aggressive breast cancer. And we had an article on five advancements in lupus research over the past year. Convergent Therapeutics is to use $90 million in funding to treat cancer with radiopharmaceuticals. ExoThera has partnered with Quantum and launched a DNA business unit. And researchers have discovered the birth of a chromosome, which could boost cancer and infertility research. There's promising results from a phase 3 prostate cancer study. And you can read all of these and more at labiotech.eu. So now let's get to this week's subject, which is lupus. It is Lupus Awareness Month, and the tagline this year is Make Lupus Visible. According to the Lupus Foundation of America, lupus is a chronic disease that can cause inflammation and pain in any part of the body. It's an autoimmune disease which most commonly affects the skin, joints, or internal organs like the kidneys or heart. And I didn't know this, but there are generally four types of lupus: systemic lupus erythematosus, cutaneous lupus, drug-induced lupus, and neonatal lupus. So to talk about lupus with us this week on the podcast are Catherine Tran, Senior Global Market Development and Marketing Manager of the Proteomics Division at SCIEX, and Alan Stenspeller, Associate Professor, Department of Health Science and Technology, and Associate Professor of the Faculty of Medicine at Aalborg University in Denmark.
So lupus is not just one collection of symptoms. It's actually a wide range of symptoms connecting to autoimmune-related diseases, and also here with a range of symptoms. So all in all, it's an autoimmune disease that attacks certain proteins in the patients. So you get different symptoms.
Different people have different levels of severity, right, Alan? I believe mine is just, I guess now that I I'm aware of it, it's kept under relative control, but I have met people who have very severe symptoms from lupus, and it's crazy the wide range of symptoms and how it can affect the body.
So you can have everything from some skin rash to different affections that goes into different part of the body, like joints, organs like kidneys, different neuroinflammation going into psychological changes like depression, etc. So there's a wide range of symptoms that all in all can be collected into this lupus as a disease. But all in all, it's an autoimmune disease.
Can it be fatal?
It can be fatal, yes, due to some of these, not the primary symptoms, but some of the side effects.
Yeah, or even, I guess, like with failure to protect your own body from infections, right? There was actually an episode I had back in 2014, I think it was. I had a pneumonia, but then it became necrotizing because I just didn't have the white blood cells to fight the infection because my body was already fighting itself. And then so I had even less of a defense system. And so at that point, yeah, I ended up going on breathing tubes and everything. They called my parents. They thought they lost me at one point. My lungs collapsed. So yeah, there's definitely severity and some of the symptoms of lupus. But like Alan said, it's not a primary reason.
Yeah, and it's more pronounced in the younger population, these significant mortality and morbidity outcomes.
Is it something that you have lupus and it stays like that, or does it get progressively worse?
I don't know about other patients, Alan. Maybe you have more to speak about that. For myself, because I'm aware of it now and I have medication to maintain it, I have everything relatively under control at the moment, especially because now I'm more aware, so I'm careful about getting infections, getting sick in general.
I'm not a treating doctor here. I'm more like a technologist, actually, working with biomarker discovery in lupus. But I know that some of the symptoms, but also the consequences of lupus can be chronic, so you get more and more symptoms that manifest themselves.
And what's awareness of lupus like? Is it something that you have to explain what it is a lot, or is it something that's well known?
nowadays, it's probably a lot more known than it used to be, like when I was originally diagnosed with it, more so because I think even celebrities are starting to say that they have lupus now, right? Like growing up, Selena Gomez was saying, like, you know, she had lupus. And then so everyone who was a Selena fan heard about lupus from her, and then just through other media outlets. And as you mentioned, there's an awareness month now. So more and more people are starting to become aware of it, which is also very helpful, because then if I'm explaining any of my symptoms and why they're happening, I'd be like, it's lupus, rather than they're like, oh, well, what is that?
And also in, here in Denmark, since there's a large fraction of affected lupus patients that are female, so in Denmark there's actually a growing focus on diseases that are affecting females in all stages of the life cycle. That's also with like an awareness here in Denmark, and I also think that's, I've heard it from other parts of Europe where we are, that there's more and more focus on female-related disorders.
And of course, we're doing this for lupus awareness and the awareness month that's happening next month. How important is it to have awareness days and months like this?
Yeah, I think it's very important, especially as I mentioned, like before, I would feel a certain way and not really know how to explain it to people. Or I guess there are things that it was just something that wasn't as easily talked about. But now that I'm aware, that more people are aware of it and more people are talking about it, it's easier to communicate with one another and also share how each of us are, you know, maintaining and staying up with our lupus flare-ups and how we're able to go about our daily lives. And it's also just really interesting to hear different perspectives of it as well.
Yeah, so again here, not just lupus, but many other autoimmune diseases don't necessarily have visible symptoms, so that you can actually spot a lupus patient from the distance. But a patient can actually have severe disabilities. So in Denmark, and we have a patient organization, and of course these awareness days that go from inflammatory bowel diseases, like a range of conditions, where we actually have like a focus months, focus days, where we more or less make awareness about these disorders. But again, especially the disorders that are not visible, so you cannot see that a person is actually having a severe disease unless you actually see the symptoms. So it's and also you have to take care. My own, I have a son who has Crohn's disease, and many often you can't see a person with have a severe inflammatory bowel disease, but they have to really take care, and they also have to be able to respond very fast to that disease. So again, like lupus, it's you have to be aware of how to support the affected patients.
And what are the current treatments for lupus?
So the current treatments are many of the, I'll say, standard anti-inflammatory treatments, where you have options to treat when you have an acute disease flare, or let's say when you have the disease. And then there's a range of new more advanced treatments starting to be developed, like different biologics to aid the treatment.
And how important is diagnosis and early diagnosis of lupus? And is it something that's easy to diagnose, or is it often quite difficult?
As I understand it from the rheumatologists I collaborate with, then it's actually quite difficult to pinpoint the different patients to be a lupus patient, or the subtypes of lupus. And that's also my involvement in lupus research. And that's because we try to see if we can make more advanced biomarker approaches to look into, first of all, how can we detect the disease or the affected patients, but also subtype patient populations. And also in some aspects, we're trying to move into predict treatment outcomes. So which patients are actually benefiting most from certain types of treatment. So again, here, the range of new treatments with biologics on the way. But we know from other diseases, all the autoimmune diseases, that these biologics, they don't affect the individual patient in the same manner. So there's a variation and a distribution on the different treatment efficiencies. So, and again here, the both the treating doctors, but also pharma companies are really keen on knowing more about the treatment outcomes.
And to add to that, I believe from a patient's side of things, early awareness of you having that disease is very helpful so that it can, you know, you can change your how you go about your daily life. I'm definitely a lot more careful, as I mentioned, when it comes to sickness, when it could come to infections, just anything that I feel like I might become sick from, even something as simple as going to the dentist and I might have like dental surgery. I have to take antibiotics beforehand to make sure to prevent any risk of infections as well. And then to add to what Alan was saying about it being really difficult to diagnose. So the reason that I was able to get diagnosed was actually because, and it was very difficult. From 2010 to 2016, I was hospitalized 5 times. So within 6 years, 5 times, I was admitted to the hospital for almost a month each time with a serious infection, all different ones. The one in 2016 was from a bug bite. So you wouldn't think it was anything, you know, to be concerned about. But then it was like a huge mass on my arm. They ended up having to cut it off. But then the doctor said, oh, have you ever noticed that your white blood cell count has always been super low? I was like, no one's ever brought that to my attention. So at first I thought it was leukemia. So then they did a bone marrow biopsy, and which is how they are able to diagnose, well, not just lupus, but I also have Sjogren's, another autoimmune disease. But thankfully it wasn't leukemia in the end. But I mean, if I didn't have to go through all those steps, I wouldn't have known either that I had lupus.
And that's one of the key research focus on in my research group. That's actually to develop new technologies that can actually pinpoint different autoimmune diseases. Because we have like the hallmark of autoimmune diseases is our antibodies that actually addresses or attacks our own proteins in the cells and all different parts of the proteins. And here we observe that there's a continuously developed and also there's a dynamic in these autoantibodies, both in healthy, you and me. I'm not in any known autoimmune disease, but we still have a very low level. But as soon as you get some kind of autoimmune disease, you see a very big increase in the complexity of these autoantibodies, from a few autoantibodies to hundreds of autoantibodies. And in lupus, there is actually hundreds of known autoantibodies. And what we try now in several research groups, we try to work together on this. We try to understand the complexity of autoantibodies and what the big pattern can we actually, by knowing this, what specific autoantibodies that are associated to the specific autoimmune disease and combinations hereof. Because you can have it in rheumatoid arthritis, can have one pattern, and then in lupus you can have another pattern, but also an overlap. And we see that also in cancer patients. So in certain lung cancer patients that are really, really severely sick, and that it's some cancer types that are highly mortal, there we can actually see that the autoantibody pattern is correlated with the disease severity and also how fatal the cancer is. And here we try to actually understand what is the single autoantibody effect, but also the combinations. It's known, of course, since it's hallmark of autoimmune diseases, but there's so much more to be discovered. So we only now right now scratching in the surface of what's actually going on there. And in biomarker discovery, it's not a new field, but it's a field that are really, really exploding with the new technologies that we are actually developing. And also Catherine is developing, so working with one type of high-end technologies. And we also use that, but also in other fields, advanced technologies that we're now developing and using in clinical research are so helpful in getting insight into disease pathology.
And so what kind of research is being done right now on lupus? I know we covered research being done in Japan on mRNA and lupus as an example, but what's out there right now in terms of cutting edge research?
In my research laboratory, we have two areas. The one is to characterize the different proteins that are present in patient material. That could be a blood sample. what proteins are actually present in the patient plasma. There's hundreds of proteins that they can have different expression levels, and then comparing different patient groups, patients at the start of the disease and maybe into the disease progression before and after treatment. If we compare these protein patterns, we can more or less create data sets, big data, that we now try to correlate with treatment outcomes, flares, remission, how is the patient coping with the disease. But also here that I mentioned the autoantibodies. These antibodies can actually arise, or the body can develop these years in advance to actually symptoms. So you can actually have antibodies that are autoantibodies related to a disease just before you get symptoms. If we can get patterns that are correlating with very, very early, like a pre-phenotype, before you actually get the disease, if we can discover patterns here in these autoantibodies that are predictive to actually you get the disease in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, then it will be very helpful to actually go in and make interventions. And that's also what we try to hope by finding out these patterns and also how they correlate to the disease progression.
And are there any clinical trials taking place at the moment? I noticed that AbbVie's starting a phase 3 trial, for example.
There's a lot of research going on here. So there's not just AbbVie, but many pharma companies trying to move in that direction, because these drugs can be very, very efficient. When they're effective, they can be really, really efficient. But again, here it's also a field of research that are very difficult to, first of all, develop these biologics, but also test that they actually work in the correct manner and don't have any side effects or less side effects.
Yeah, Catherine, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit more about living with lupus and also some of the work that you're doing at SCIEX.
Yeah, so I mean, living with lupus, everything still feels very normal. Although now that I'm doing a lot more of the research, or there is more information available about lupus, I'm starting to look at it. I'm like, oh, so maybe that's related to my lupus, or maybe that's why I'm like that. Because sometimes like I just get so insanely tired out of nowhere, and I just like need to just fall asleep and crash, and there's like no helping me. Like, and the strangest thing too is like I'll have a cup of coffee and right away it puts me to bed, so it's like almost the opposite effect. And it also makes you really intrigued, because then it's coming from a scientific background, you want to understand what are the biochemical pathways that are happening that might trigger certain these, and are these certain chemicals that could explain, you know, some of the disease progression and or pathology and all that. But yeah, as I was mentioning earlier, mainly awareness is the biggest thing in helping me maintain a healthy daily lifestyle. Just being aware of like constantly washing your hands, even like something simple as using public restrooms. Like you just have to be so careful about everything, especially when the pandemic hit recently. That was a scary phase because with the being immunocompromised, it was just worrisome about like how severe I could get from the coronavirus, and then what I could do to combat that, especially because there was no information available really. So even as something simple nowadays, going onto the bus and someone's coughing like crazy, you just start getting like little triggers like, oh, should I get off or should I put a mask on, and just how to be more careful. But other than that, I feel like I still have a very normal lifestyle. I still get to do all the things I enjoy. I'm traveling, working still. So everything's still great. But yeah, what I really enjoy about my position at SCIEX, though, is because since I'm involved, and with Alan talking about his research in biomarker discovery of lupus, you know, we have really cool and exciting technologies that's really helping advance in those fields. And so what I really like focusing on is explaining how the technologies that the company SCIEX itself is putting out there is able to make a difference in these different research applications. What are the key different technologies that are useful? And, you know, not just to lupus in general, but a bunch of different diseases and further science researches.
Right. And what kind of things is your company working on?
Yeah, so the latest instrument was the Xenotop 7600. So that's a mass spectrometer. And then so Alan mentioned, you know, that he's been working with a bunch of high-end instruments, so the mass spectrometer being one of them. Mass spectrometry-based proteomics is definitely a key trending application within lupus research at the moment, I believe, Alan. I've seen a lot of articles actually using mass spectrometry, looking into lupus pathways and other diseases. And yeah, so what's really exciting about the Xenotop, it has new capabilities that weren't previously there before, especially and get a little more technical. It's a very fast, accurate precision machine that gets really down into the nitty gritty. But I mean, as a mass spectrometrist, it's really exciting to see the new features in the instrument and how it can be used to enhance that type of research.
Totally agree. And also what Kathleen is mentioning, that the technology development is making these types of equipment, not just mass spectrometers, but also what we call next genome sequencing, all the technologies. They're getting faster and faster, but also cheaper and cheaper to analyze a patient sample. So what we're trying at the moment is to move this equipment as fast as possible from the research laboratories into the clinical diagnosis laboratories, so that we can benefit from that in the diagnosis and also prognostic measurements of the patient samples coming in the hospitals. Because many of these high-end research instruments are currently associated most of all to the research facilities around the world, but we're really trying to move everything towards the patients as close as possible, so that the patients are actually benefiting from this. And again here, you mentioned SCIEX, some of these technologies makes the analysis maybe 10, 50 times faster, so we can actually measure patient samples within minutes now, where it previously would take half an hour, 2 hours. Then it just takes maybe 5 minutes to generate a data set that are useful for diagnostic purposes. And that's a cool feature.
And I guess it's not just saving time, but also saves money as well, I guess.
Yeah. In the short and long term, that also saves money.
When you look forward, what do you see as the future for lupus research? I mean, is it in terms of short term and long term, where are we at and where are we going, I guess?
From my side, what I see is that the medical doctors, rheumatologists I collaborate with, what they need and also ask is more insight to the early biomarkers and also understanding what's the individual disease phenotype of the individual patient, not just 100 patients, the whole population, but actually are trying to understand the disease at the individual patient stage. But also here, if we can develop new medications based on the report, the big data we generate in laboratories as mine, and then the pharma companies, they of course want to develop new drugs that can be more efficient, address the disease in other stages than current, where we maybe have focus on the inflammatory control. So if you have a disease flare, like an acute disease, then we can minimize that effect. But we can, if we can go in and treat the disease, not cure it, but at least keep all the symptoms away. That's a future wish from my side.
To echo what Alan was saying, especially with the advancements that we're seeing in technology now, I believe that especially as well with the amount of awareness, and there just seems a lot more people focused on wanting to find a solution. I do believe that we'll be able to find, you know, there will be more treatments available, or at least even possibly a better method of treatment, because there's interestingly, it seems that people who have lupus also have other autoimmune diseases as well. And then so maybe, you know, reducing the amount of drugs that are needed for all the different symptoms that you're having, all the different diseases. Yeah, that's what I would like to see from my side.
Do you see the potential for a complete cure of lupus, or is it more getting to a stage where it's just manageable?
I think it's more so just manageable. I think, although there have been breaking research in proteomics in general that we didn't even expect we could ever do in this lifetime. But I mean, I think that seems a little bit further out. Right now, we don't even understand what the biomarkers are for lupus. Is that right, Alan? So, I think that would be the first step, is finding out first, why is this disease happening? How is it triggering other diseases possibly? What's its connection with other diseases? And then before you can really come up with a complete treatment for it, or a cure, I mean.
Yeah, definitely. When I read the scientific papers around the disease, so how does the disease, what are the triggers? And then there's multi-factors. It could be genetic, it could be environmental factors, infections. There's so many diverse triggers. And this actually is almost the same story for many other autoimmune diseases. So there's also overlapping disease markers, and that's what actually makes the diagnosis a little bit tricky. Of course, there's some really hallmark symptoms for lupus as a general, but there's also some overlapping symptoms, both within lupus subtypes. Lupus is not just one pathology, but many overlapping pathologies. But again, also other autoimmune diseases have similar patterns, similar symptoms. And that goes for groups of autoimmune diseases, that there's more and more focus in getting new technologies to actually be able to pinpoint the exact diagnosis as fast as possible. Because here, fast diagnosis is also fast intervention.
There's a lot of work still to do, but there's hope and progress, I guess.
Yes, definitely. So I work in the same technology field. So not that I don't feel old in this field, but still, I've been in this field for like almost 25 years. And the progression here in this time span is amazing. So going from where we hardly could measure anything to now being actually really powerful instruments or powerful analysis technologies. And that also goes for other types of technologies. So the most amazing, that's even more amazing than mass spectrometry, next genome sequencing. It was unknown for like 15 years ago. Now it's all over. And the same goes for mass spectrometry. It's also my field of research, Catherine's amazing progression in features and performance. So that's going to be really impressive in the future.
I'm just really excited to see the next few years of research coming out. I know Alan has really exciting data, and just really excited to see where the community is moving and what's next for people with lupus.
And again, here, the awareness of the, not just how can we actually benefit, move science or progressions in science into helping the patient, but also helping the patients getting awareness of the disease. And also here, how can we actually, as a society, help not just lupus patients, but also patients with hidden disorders, like many autoimmune diseases, where we, how can we actually make sure that the quality of life is as good as possible? I think in Denmark, as many other countries, getting highest quality of life while actually keeping the expenses in treatment as low as possible, or trying to lower them again, because it's getting more and more expensive to treat patients here. So the more we can actually use technology and our advancements to actually keep the treatment as well as possible, but also trying to make it as inexpensive to treat patients and keep patients well treated is important.
Really interesting conversation there, and I do encourage you to do a little research online and see what's happening around lupus research and clinical trials. Indeed, we had an article this week on lupus treatments, although, of course, there are many other resources out there. I should just remind you that this podcast was sponsored by Lonza. During drug development, it is critical to balance risk with time and costs. At Lonza, we understand the complexity of building such optimal paths. By offering flexibility on your journey to IND, we can shape our processes around your molecule's profile, critical milestones, and company's needs. Our flexibility extends to commercial terms, enhanced portability, and specific program guarantees. By working with any molecule type, we support our customers to bring innovative therapies to life. The people powering biologics. So that's it for podcast 44. Next week, well, we'll have to wait and see. It's a short week because it's a holiday on Monday. We have a special newsletter on cell and gene therapy, and I have a couple of vacation days to throw in as well. And of course, because there is a 3-day weekend, yes, rain is forecast for all 3 days. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us, and I hope wherever in the world you are, you have a great week ahead. Take care, and join us next week for another Beyond Biotech.